Welcome to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, O divine will, to breathe in my breathing. Make our feet journey together. May our hands gather in unity. May our hearts beat in unison. May our souls be in harmony. May our thoughts be as one. May our ears listen to the silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. May our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Kingdom of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Today we will finish Volume 21. We have come to the conclusion of this book, and we give thanks to God that we have been able to cover Volume 21. So let's begin with the next passage that comes from May 24, 1927, and the title is Offering One's Work in the Divine Will. One who lives in it forms many acts of divine lives and possesses the virtue of bilocation. The gift of bilocation is one of the three gifts that Adam possessed before the fall. We read in the Book of Heaven that he possessed the gift of complete knowledge, the gift of locution, and the gift of bilocation. We see this gift is being given also to some of the saints, saints like Padre Pio, who experienced the gift of bilocation. He was able to bilocate himself. And as he, many other saints have received this gift, which Adam possessed before the fall. Luisa Picaretta writes, I was doing my offering of my works, saying, My love, Jesus, I want your little hands in mine, in order to give to our celestial Father that love and that glory which you gave him with your words when you were on earth. Not only this, but I want to unite myself with you. When you, Word of the Eternal Father, from eternity operate together with him, with his very works, loving with reciprocal love, and with perfect equality. And I want to glorify you in that same glory with which you glorify yourselves among the three divine persons. But I am not content. I want to place my hands in yours in order to flow together with your hands, in your own will, within the sun, to give you the glory of the light, of the heat, of the fecundity of the sun, in the sea, to give you the glory of its waves, of its continuing murmuring in the air, to give you the glory of the singing of the birds, in the blue of the skies of heaven, to give you the glory of its immensity, and in the flickering of the stars, in their twinkling, I want my voice flow saying to you, I love you. I want to flow in the flowery fields to give you the glory and the adoration of their fragrance. There is no point in which I do not want to be, so that everywhere you may feel your little daughter adoring you, loving you, glorifying you, praising you, giving you adoration and thanksgiving. Luisa Picaretta, she places herself, and this is what she says, I want to place myself in everything you did, my adorable Jesus. I want to put my, I love you, I praise you, I glorify you. I want to love you with your own will. I want to love you from all eternity. I want to love you in the name of all creation. I want to love you in everything you did. In every created thing, I want to love you. And this is what she does when she does the rounds of creation that is part of the writings of Luisa Picaretta. I encourage all of you to become acquainted with this. When we immerse ourselves in the divine will and we place our I love you, I praise you, I glorify you, I thank you with your will in every created thing, we bilocate ourselves mentally to praise, to adore God, in and through creation. This is what Daniel does in the book of Daniel, in the Canticle. He says, "Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. You heavens, bless the Lord. All you waters, bless the Lord. All you creatures of the earth, bless the Lord. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Stars, bless the Lord. Moon, bless the Lord. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord." Luisa Picaretta goes and she does the same thing as Daniel was doing, and she is putting her "I love you" in everything. But she's loving God not with the love of the creature, which is limited, but she places the "I love you" with your will. "I love you with your will in every single star, in the moon, in the sun. I put my I love you in everything." And this is what Jesus wants us to do when we do the rounds of creation. Let's continue. "While I was saying this and other things, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, 'My daughter, I feel in you my glory, my love, my life, my works. My will centralizes everything in you. Not only this, but while you work, my will takes you into the sun and you work together with its light. Therefore, your movements flow in the solar rays, and as their light spread, you spread glory and love for your creator. How beautiful it is to find my daughter in all my works, working to give me the love and the glory that each one of my works contains. Since my will possesses the virtue of bilocation, it also bilocates you in order to find you in the sea, in the air, in the stars, everywhere, to love you and to be loved and glorified." When we immerse ourselves in the divine will and we praise and adore and glorify God and we give thanks for every created thing, He's able to bilocate our tiny love that united with His love becomes divine. And then we don't love with the love of the creature anymore, but we love with the love of God. And He bilocates our "I love you" in every created thing, because the divine will exists and sustains in every created thing. Every Sunday at Mass, we sing the Gloria, and we say, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you." When we immerse ourselves in the divine will to say that same prayer, and we say, "For your great glory," we are now praising, adoring, glorifying God, and giving Him praise, glory, adoration, thanksgiving with His own will. We are loving God, thanking Him with His own love. And this is what He wants. He wants the perfect correspondence of the creature. He wants the creature to love Him with His own love, because this is the only way that God will be satisfied. He wants to be loved with His own love. And this is the only love that will fill the void in the soul of the creature. That void that we have in our soul can only be filled with the will of God. So the invitation, the challenge for us is to immerse ourselves in the divine will, to do the rounds of creation, to do everything with His will, to have the intention to be united since the moment we get up in the morning until the moment we go back to bed, to be united with Him. Our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that as long as we have the intention, He will make up for what is lacking in us. And remember that the Lord is able to search the soul of man. So He knows our intentions. So as long as we do our prevenial act every morning and we have the intention to remain united with Him, He will make up for what is lacking in us. After this, I felt as though absorbed in the Supreme Fiat, and I thought to myself about the great things that the Supreme Will can do in our souls. And my always adorable Jesus told me, "My daughter, each act that the Divine Will does united with the soul forms a divine life, because being divine, it cannot help forming divine lives within its acts. In such a way that wherever it reigns, as the soul operates, speaks, thinks, palpitates, etc., my divine will makes its work, its thought and heartbeat flow within that of the creatures, first forming its act, its work in them, and then forming the place for its divine life. Therefore, in everything she does, the soul releases from herself so many divine lives as to fill heaven and earth with as many images of divine life. She becomes the producer, the bilocator of the divine life. My will is not less powerful in the soul in whom it reigns. With the power of its dominion, it is within the womb of the three divine persons. What our Lord is saying to Luisa Picarreta is that once we unite ourselves to His will, it's no longer us doing actions, acts anymore, but it's the divine will doing acts in us. It's God operating in us. It's the creature letting herself be possessed by her divine creator. So it is important for us to have this intention and to have this disposition in our souls. Give room to God to operate in us, to operate in every single act that we do. And our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta that the power of the Blessed Trinity works in us whenever we allow His divine will operate, to breathe, to palpitate, to circulate in us. This way of life requires that we have a continuous disposition to let the life of God grow in us, to be expanded in us, so that our souls, acquiring this disposition and this light, our souls will be able to magnify the Lord, to praise Him. As the Blessed Mother says in the Canticle, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Because once the divine will possesses the soul, once the creature lets herself be filled with the light of her creator, the soul, which is the place where God lives in the creature, is able to magnify the Lord, to praise, to adore Him. And this is what our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta. He wants His creature to be united with His will. You gave me heaven. In heaven I do give you. This is what the Lord wants us to say. Therefore, by possessing the virtue of bilocation, it not only forms in the soul as many lives as it wants, but it forms its heaven, its sun, its seas of love, flowery fields within her, and makes the soul say to God, "You gave me heaven, and heaven do I give you. You gave me sun, and sun do I give you. You gave me light, and light do I give you. You gave me seas and flowery fields, and seas and flowery fields do I give you. Your will repeats in me everything you have done for me in creation and in redemption, so that I may give you everything, just as you gave me everything." He wants to be loved with His own love. He wants to be loved with the power of His love. And this is what we do when we immerse ourselves in the divine will. When we put our "I love you, I praise you, I glorify you" in everything we do and in every created thing. Oh, power of my will, what can it not do in the soul in whom it reigns? Therefore, wherever it reigns, it delights in placing the soul at our own level. This spirituality of the divine will, what our Lord is telling Luisa Picarreta, that it elevates the soul to be able to glorify God with His own love, with His own glory, as the Lord says, at His own level. More so, since it knows that is our will. Wanting the creature to be similar to our image and being our faithful executor, it brings her to us, and we call this creature with our supreme fiat, our glory, our love, our virtue reign. Only with our will can the soul reach such extent. Without it, there is much distance between creator and creature. This is why I love so much that the divine will reign in the creature, to give to our will an extensive field of action in order to bilocate our works, our lives, and to raise the creature to the perfect purpose for which she was created. Our Lord wants to have His fill of action in our souls. This is what He wants. He wants to breathe, to palpitate, to have room in our souls. He tells Sister Margaret Alacord in the Private Revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, He wants to be constituted as the rightful King that He is. He wants to be at the center of every single heart. And this is what He is telling us also. He wants His room in us. He wants His place in us. He wants us to constitute Him as the King of our soul. And to do this is to fulfill the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. Our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that He wants to raise the creature to the purpose for which she was created. We were created out of love, and we were created to glorify, to adore, to praise, and to love God. And this is what we are called to do when we unite ourselves in the divine will. To praise, to adore, to glorify, to thank Him with His own love. And this is what the divine will does when it reigns in the heart of the creature. It elevates the soul at the level of God in a way. As He says, Jesus tells us, the soul is elevated at our own level. Meaning that the soul is able to correspond to God in a perfect way. As Adam and Eve were corresponding, adoring, and thanking God before the fall, as they possess the gifts of complete knowledge by location and locution. The creature came out from our will, and it is justice that she walk in the steps of our will, and that she return to her Creator on that same path from which she came, all beautiful, all enriched by the prodigies of our eternal fiat, by the prodigies of the divine will, the will of our heavenly Father. In sacred scripture, our Lord tells the disciples, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me, the will of the Father who sent me. We are called to do the same, not to do our human will, but to do the will of the one who created us out of love, to correspond Him with His own love. Let's continue with the next passage that comes from May 26, 1927. This is the last passage of volume 21. And the title is How God in Creation Formed Many Rooms in Order to Dwell in Them, to let Himself always be found by men, and to give Him His qualities, a doubt which Jesus solves. How what appears to be difficult for the soul is easy for God. Laments of the soul. Jesus reassures her. Luisa Picaretta writes, My state of abandonment in the divine fiat continues after following it in its acts. In the creation, I was thinking of how one could reorder, once again, all the relations between Creator and creature before the Supreme Majesty, which the human ingratitude had broken. And my adorable Jesus, coming out from within my interior, told me, My daughter, look at the whole creation, the heavens, the innumerable stars, the wind, the sea, the flowery fields, the mountains, the valleys. These are all the rooms which I form. And in each room I form my royal place, to make of it my dwelling. This in order to make it easier for man, so that wherever he will go to find his God, he will help him soon and everywhere. He will help him find him soon and everywhere. God is everywhere. And what he is telling Luisa Picaretta, what our Lord is telling Luisa Picaretta, is that he lets himself be found everywhere, and that everything in nature tells us something about God. That everything tells us about the existence of God. All the beauty, all the order, the light, everything that is in nature tells us about who God is. And this is what our Lord wants us. Not to adore nature, no, but to see Him in nature. That he is the creator of everything that exists, and that everything that is created points us out towards him, who is life, who is the source of everything that exists. In a more perfect way, God is present in all the sacraments. In the sacrament of the Eucharist, he is present in his body and blood, soul and divinity. And all his gifts are in the sacraments. He is present in nature, not in the same way that he is in the Eucharist. But what he is telling Luisa Picaretta is that he left a trace. All nature is imprinted with him. And nature tells us about something about the Creator. We just have to see it. He is present in our souls in the sacrament of baptism. He descends. The Holy Spirit descends and he brings the light. He sanctifies us. He makes us holy. That's the action of the Holy Spirit, to make us holy. This is in order to make it easier for men, so that wherever he will go to find his God, he will help him find him soon and everywhere. He placed himself in each room in the act of waiting for him, and left all rooms open so that men would not have to bother knocking, but could enter freely as many times as he wanted, finding him ready to receive him. He's waiting, he says, to be recognized in every single and created thing. These doors are open. He wants us to recognize him in the sun, in the heat, in the light, in the power of the wind, in the waves of the ocean, in the beauty of nature. He's waiting for us to see him, to recognize us, and to say, thank you for giving us light. Thank you for giving us this water that quenches our thirst. Thank you for creating beauty. Thank you for the colors. I praise you, I adore you, I glorify you in every created thing. The Creator of heaven and earth did not place himself in one point alone, but everywhere, so that men might find him everywhere and always. And he arranged these rooms so close to each other in order to form many shortcuts, so that there might be no distance, but closeness and communion between Creator and creature. Therefore, all these rooms were and are relations, bounds, and paths between God and men. All of these are shortcuts, our Lord says, so that men can be in communion with him, in a common union. And this common union, communion, is by uniting ourselves freely out of love for our Creator, in thanksgiving and adoration to his will. Our Lord has created these ways, these shortcuts, these rooms, as he calls, in creation, so that we may find him. That's why it's also important to take care of nature, because it's part of the creation of God. And remember that in the book of Genesis, God gave Adam dominion over all creation. All creation was subject to himself, and he was supposed to take care of this creation, to be the mediator between God and nature. That's why he was a priest, a natural priest, because priests stand between God and his people and offer sacrifices on behalf of the people of God. As the letter to the Hebrews tells us, priests offer sacrifice on behalf of his sins and on behalf of the sins of the people. Jesus is the eternal and high priest, and he stands between God the Father and all the human race, and he reconciles us with God the Father, so that we may be able to return back to our God and Father, so that we can have union with our Father, our Creator, our Maker. So God is our Maker, our Creator, our Redeemer, and is our Sanctifier. God the Father created us out of love. Jesus redeemed us out of love. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies us out of love through the sacraments, makes us holy. That's why it is so important for us to take care of nature, because this was part of what God gave to our first parent, Adam. He was a natural priest. We, by virtue of our baptism, possess the common priesthood, meaning that through us, others should come to know about Christ. In a special way, those who know the divine will, the gift of the divine will, the common priesthood is exercised whenever we share with others about the gift of the divine will, and whenever others come to know about this great gift of God to the human race. When others come to know the divine will through us, we exercise the common priesthood that we all share by virtue of the sacrament of baptism. It is important for us to take care of natural resources too, because it's part of taking care of what God created, and God is in all created things. But who was to maintain these relations in force, strengthen these bonds, order the paths, open the doors? Our will reigning in the soul will take on this commitment so important of maintaining the order of all creation, just as we deliver it. But as many withdrew from our divine fiat, the relations were no longer in force. The bonds were released, the paths barren, the doors closed. He lost his dear inheritance. He remained stripped of all goods. The divine will contains all goods, and this is what happened when Adam and Eve falled. They lost the divine gifts that God gave them. He lost his dear inheritance. He remained stripped of all goods. Each step was a lance around his feet, which will make him fall. By not doing our will, one loses everything and there is no good left. While by doing it, one acquires everything and there is no good, which one is not returned. The divine will is the gift of God to us. The divine will is the gift that God has for us in our time, because it contains all goods. What did the paternal goodness of the Creator not do in creation for love of man? He not only formed many rooms, but one different than the other, so as to let himself be found in many different ways by the one whom he loved. He created all these ways. He created all these rooms in order for us to find him, because he wanted communion with us. And this is why he wants communion. And the sacraments, they united us more perfectly to God. That's why it's important to receive the sacraments, especially the sacrament of communion of Holy Eucharist in the state of grace. It is important to have the sacrament of confession as part of our spiritual life, as part of our spiritual communion with the Lord, so that the sacraments, they will perfect the life of grace in us. In the Son, he will let himself be found invested with light, all majesty burning with love, waiting for him in order to give him his light, to let himself be comprehended, to give him his love, so that by entering into this room to find his God, man himself might become light and love. He tells us that in the Son he is there, his presence is there, and with the light of the Son tells us God is life. He wants you to become light. He wants your soul to be filled with the light that emanates from him, from the sacraments. So be faithful to the sacraments. Remain faithful to the Lord. Fill yourself, your soul, with the light that comes from the sacraments. And the Son is telling us he is the light. The Son is telling us God is light. In the sea he will let himself be found as the strong God, to give him strength. In the wind he will let himself be found ruling and dominating, so to give him rule and dominion. In some, in each created thing, he waited for men to let him share in his qualities. God gives us this example in the book of heaven. Our Lord gives us this example in the book of heaven, that in the wind he tells us, I want you to rule and to dominate. God wants us to have self-dominion and self-control. And through the wind he says that, I want you to be strong. I want you to have dominion, self-dominion. And this happens when we fill ourselves, my brothers and sisters, with the virtues. In baptism, we receive the virtue of faith, the virtue of hope, the virtue of charity, which are the theological virtues. We are called to grow in the life of virtue. We need to ask the Lord to give us the cardinal virtues, which are justice, prudence, strength, and temperance. These virtues are needed in our soul in order for us to have our soul, our spiritual house in order. Our soul has to be filled with a sense of justice, of prudence, of strength, of temperance, to have self-control, to dominate ourselves. So let us pray and let us ask the Lord to give us these four virtues which the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us we need to have. Again, cardinal virtues are needed for us to grow in the life of holiness: justice, prudence, strength, and temperance. Our Lord wants us to have His divine qualities. We need to have this spiritual house of ours in order for His light to grow in us. After this, I was thinking to myself, Jesus loves His will so much, and He seems to yearn so much that it become known, so that it may dominate and reign. But it seems difficult to me that the divine will may be known, because there is no one who occupies himself with it, no one who is interested. All the interest is of Jesus, but it does not exist in the creature. Luisa Picaretta is preoccupied because nobody occupies him or herself about this divine science. But this is what our Lord says. All the interest is of Jesus, but it does not exist in the creatures. So if the creatures neglect giving this great glory to God and also offering the fullness of all goods to other creatures, how can the kingdom of the eternal fiat become known? The fullness of all goods. This is a perfect description of the divine will. The fullness of all goods. The fullness of all goods. It's important for you to memorize this, that the divine will is the fullness of all goods. Our Lord Jesus is telling this to Luisa Picaretta, is the fullness of all goods, because it contains everything. That's why, if it contains all goods, it becomes the greatest gift. We say divine will because it's the will of God. Our human will brings miseries to us, brings destruction. It always leaves us empty. But the divine will always fill that void that is in us. And we will experience peace, contentment, happiness. It takes a great deal of humility and trust to give ourselves to the Lord, to die to ourselves at every single moment with every single act. But if we do this, we will be filled with the fullness of all goods, which is the divine will. Luisa Picaretta is preoccupied that nobody takes time to promote this gift. And our Lord knows this preoccupation of Luisa Picaretta, but He also knows that in time this will become a reality. So we all can do a little. We have to do everything that we can, remembering that this is a gift that has to be received. It cannot be imposed. So don't get frustrated also when you tell people about the divine will and they don't listen. They are not prepared. Pray for them and pray that this gift be known on earth, and pray that more souls be disposed to receive this gift, and do all your acts in the divine will. Now, while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, that which appears difficult to you is not difficult for God, just as there were no difficulties in redemption, nor could all the human perfidy hinder the course of our love, our decision to come to redeem mankind, much less so for the fulfillment of our will. When the divinity establishes to do an act, to accomplish a work, whatever the causes, the circumstances, the impediments may be, it triumphs over everything. It conquers everything, and it does what that which it has established. Therefore, the culminating and important point for God is in establishing what He wants to do. Once He has done this, He has done everything. So if in us it is established that our will must be known, and that its kingdom will come upon earth, It is as if it were already done. When God decides to do things, He's telling Luisa Picaretta, Lord Jesus is telling Luisa Picaretta, is as if it were already done. So we don't have to preoccupy ourselves. We have to do our acts in the divine will, to do everything we can. We have to read. It's important to read. It's important to pray, to do little sacrifices for the kingdom to come and reign. Our Lord Jesus is telling us, is as if it were already done. Just as redemption was accomplished because established by us, so it will be for our will, more so since in creation the divinity delivered his kingdom fully in order because it was reigning and dominating, and with the fall of man this kingdom was not destroyed but remained whole, and it still exists. It only remains suspended for men. In redemption I fix everything. The kingdom of the divine will was not destroyed, our Lord says, with the fall of it was disfigured. We lost the gifts. This kingdom was suspended. There was a separation because men wanted to be God apart from God. Our Lord comes in redemption and he surrenders his human will. And in his humanity, by taking our humanity, he's able to redo everything. And he accomplished redemption. This kingdom that only remained suspended, our Lord says, was fixed. In redemption, I fixed everything, and just as I did everything so that man might be redeemed, I also did everything so that this suspension might be removed and the creature might enter into the kingdom of the divine fiat, first giving place to redemption and then with time giving place to my will. With time and in time, this kingdom will come and reign on earth. It will start reigning in each one of our souls by surrendering every single act that we do and letting God find his field of action in our souls in every single act. By reading, by growing in every day in the knowledge and understanding of this great gift, the fullness of all goods. So don't be preoccupied either, because the Lord will bring this to fulfillment in due time. We just have to do our acts. Little sacrifices again, our prayers, all of this is needed. Therefore, what is difficult is to form a kingdom or a work. But once it is done, it is easy to make it known. More so since your Jesus does not lack power. I may want or not want to do a work, but I never lack power. I will dispose things, circumstances, creatures and events in such a way as to make it easy for my will to become known. This is a great promise, and this should be encouraging for us, a source of great hope that our Lord is telling Luisa Picaretta, I will dispose things, circumstances, creatures and events in such a way as to make it easier for my will to become known. What a great consolation to know that he will dispose things. That if you apply yourself to read, even if you do not understand, just keep reading, and he will dispose your souls. If you avail yourself to be filled with this light and the knowledge of the Book of Heaven, the Lord will do the rest. Then I felt all afflicted, and I thought to myself, how hard is my state? I feel I cannot go on. Remember that Luisa Picaretta, she experienced the stigmata. She experienced all this suffering, and when she says it is a very difficult state, she refers to this pain that she suffered to, that she offered. She's a victim self as well. So she says, I cannot go on. The divine will is inexorable, immutable, and having to deal with the fiat is not a joke. One feels all the weight of its immutability and remains immutable. With its immutability, the divine will is unchangeable. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. It is impassive to everything and places one in the condition of wanting wherever it wants. May they even be chastisements or the very privations of Jesus, which caused me so much. Everything it wants must be done, but nothing must be done of what the soul wants, not even a comma. Our Lord wants us to really, really submit ourselves to His will, and He doesn't want not even a comma of our will. And this is the martyrdom of all martyrdoms, to die to ourselves with every single act. While I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved my interior and told me, "My daughter, my will wants to be free in you, in your soul." This is what He's telling us too. He wants to be free in us. He wants to find His field of action in our souls. All these revelations do not contradict with each other. The revelation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to Sister Margaret Alacoque tells us that He wants to be constituted as the rightful king that He is. And this is what He's telling Luisa Picaretta. "My will wants to be free in your soul. Therefore, does not want to see even a point of a comma of what she wants. May it even be a holy thing. Even if it's a holy thing that you want, if the divine will doesn't want it, He wants you to die to yourself. He wants us to die to ourselves. Does not want to find limits in her. The Lord doesn't want boundaries in our soul for Him. He wants the whole thing in our soul. He wants us to really give ourselves to Him and to say, 'Fiat, let it be done to me according to your word. With your will, I work. With your will, I do everything.' The divine will wants to extend its dominion over everything. It wants what my will wants. And this is what the soul must want and do. This is why it makes her feel all the weight of its immutability, to render her immutable in such a way that she must not be subject to change, because she sees the creatures suffer, because she sees them deprived of a temporary good, or because she wants to give it. This will mean going out of its immutability. This is human sanctity. The sanctity of my will is divine sanctity. It does not tolerate these weaknesses. The divine will is divine sanctity. This is true. The divine will, which is the fullness of all goods, the sanctity that is divine sanctity, is not human sanctity, wants to reign in our souls, does not tolerate anything that does not belong to God in our souls. If my divine will were subject to this, our justice will have to be with our life in our supreme being, which cannot be. If you knew at what point our justice finds itself in these times, if it wanted to put itself out completely upon you, you will remain crushed. But my will does not want to crush you. Rather, it wants that the creatures suffer their penalty in part, also to make them open their eyes from the great blindness into which they have fallen. We have fallen into a great blindness. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, we fall into the darkness. There is a great saint that we all can pray. She is a great intercessor for us who know the divine will. She is the patron saint of the blind. And many people pray to her for healing, to regain sight, to be cured from blindness, or people who have problems with vision, is Saint Lucy. Saint Lucy, for us who know the divine will, is a great intercessor, because she knows that it is more important for us to remove the spiritual blindness in which we are. Every time we read the Book of Heaven, we remove a little by little. God removes a little by little our spiritual blindness. With every single act that we do, God, the Holy Spirit, removes that blindness from us and allows us to be filled with Himself, with that light that emanates from God. Every time that we receive the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist in the state of grace, we are filled with that light, and that blindness, that spiritual blindness, is removed. I invite all of you to pray to Saint Lucy, that Saint Lucy may enlighten you, that Saint Lucy may be an intercessor for you, to grow in the knowledge and understanding of the gift of the divine will, to remove from us the spiritual blindness. Saint Lucy, pray for us. Let's continue. all the great nations live relying on debts. If they do not make debts, they cannot live. But in spite of this, they celebrate, they save on nothing, and are making plans of war, incurring enormous expenses. Do you yourself not see the great blindness and madness into which they have fallen? And you, little child, will want my justice not to strike them, and to abound with temporal goods? So you will want them to become more blind and more insane? And in seeing that all your requests are not granted, you lament. And in seeing that my will has taken its place in all your soul, leaving you no freedom, you feel the power of the sanctity and immutability of my divine will. Once you are filled with the light, with the strength of the divine will, with every single act, you will feel the strength of God in you. You will see that it will be easier for you to pray. Once you immerse yourself in the divine will to do everything, you will see that it will become easier, because it will be Him doing it in you. You will disappear with every single act. Your ego will disappear with every single act. Furthermore, I have told you many times that the privations of me are nothing other than voids which my justice forms in order to strike the peoples. Therefore, my daughter, do not lose heart. Do you know how much I love you, and how many treasures I have placed in you? Nor can I leave you. I must guard all the gifts I have placed in you. This is the best gift that you can put in your heart and your soul, to let the light of God, of His divine will, which is the fullness of all goods, the divine sanctity, reign in you. And God will guard this light, this divine gift in you. You must know that each of my words is a divine gift. Each word is a divine gift. So imagine if you read every day how many divine gifts you are putting and storing in your soul. The gospel tells us, do not store things for yourselves, but store things that last forever. This divine truths are divine gifts. Whenever we read sacred scripture, whenever we read the book of heaven, whenever we pray the hours of the passion, whenever we do the rounds of creation, every single word and every single act done in the divine will, every single word that comes from the book of heaven is a divine gift, the Lord tells us in this passage. And how many of them have I spoken to you? Moreover, whenever I give, I never withdraw the gift. And to be sure that my gifts are safe, I remain as guardian of my gifts and of the soul who possesses them. Therefore, let me do, and let my will reign in you. This is the message that the Lord gives us in this book, and it's a beautiful way to end this volume from the book of heaven, volume 21, the Lord telling us, let me do and let my will reign freely in you. The Lord telling us, I want to deposit in your soul the fullness of all goods. I want to deposit in your soul the sanctity of sanctities. I want to deposit in your soul divine sanctity. Therefore, let me do and let my will reign freely in you. This is the message. My prayer for all of you is that you will let Jesus do everything in you, that you will let the divine will reign freely in every single act of yours, that you will let the divine will reign in your soul freely. This is my prayer for you. Mary, Queen of the Kingdom of Divine Will, pray for us. Saint Lucy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.